is holy. Amen. Well, another blessed day in the Lord. Another day he's kept his promises. And we're grateful to him. But you ought to continue to pray for my wife. She's doing so much better. I thought she was going to come this morning, but she decided not. But she's doing a lot better. And one week, the Bible says the prayers of the righteous, they avail of much. And I have confidence in your prayers. And we just thank God for you. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 4, we will start our Bible study on this Thursday, promptly at 7. And I'm going to make sure that we might get out a little early this week. I want to make sure you all get home before it gets dark. This is our foundation for the series. We're going to talk about the covenants. And I want to explain the difference between a covenant and a testament. So we can understand a covenant. There's conditional covenants and unconditional covenants. And if you're not meeting the conditions of the conditional covenants, maybe that's why you don't get what you think that God should be given. So we're going to discuss those things. When God makes a word, he keeps his word. Actually, there's a point in my teaching today that brings that out. But we're going to read Galatians chapter 4, the first 7 verses. And this ties back to chapter 3 very strongly, today's message. And it will very strongly tie to the remaining part of chapter 4. It's a transitional place where we are today. You know, last week, the title of that message was Faith is Come. And we're blessed to have faith. That means faith has not always been here. We believe it has, but faith has come. So let's read these first 7 verses. It reads, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of children. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." The covenants that we're going to talk about really tie into this as we get toward the end of the year and teaching on covenant. But as some background, I want to just go over something from last week, or the chapter 3, I should say. where chapter 3 said that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to Abraham for righteousness. Abraham believed God. He didn't believe in God. He believed what God said. And so God counted to Abraham because, Abraham, you believed me. I'm going to count that as righteousness. Or I'm going to credit that to you as righteousness because you believed me. So what did Abraham believe? Abraham believed that God said, listen, I want to bring you out of your country, away from your kinfolk, and I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. He told him that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a nation out of you. I'm going to bless that nation. And all nations of the world should be blessed because of you, Abraham, because you believed me. Now, here's where faith comes in. And it comes in much stronger than we live on a daily basis. And we try to make faith in what we want. And we try to get God to follow us. Like, God, I want to move out of the city, and I want to move to Atlanta. And when I'm just going to trust God and have faith and confidence in God, that God will go with me. That's not faith. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to want to go, but God hadn't sent you anywhere. And you're learning the covenants, you don't get to contribute to the covenant. It's not negotiable. The covenant only comes from God. So for last week in chapter 3, for God to tell us faith came, then it means faith has not always been here. For faith to come, whether we think it has or not. If you go, and for those that Google it, get your commentary out, get your Bible out, and you can't find the word faith except for two places in the Old Testament. That word wasn't even used with Abraham. You see that he was faithful, but not the word faith. The word faith was used the very first time when God told Moses, your time is out. And Joshua, you're going to be in charge. Now, here's an interesting point. Moses was 120 years old. God said, your time is out. Now, God can't lie, and he can't change. He had told Adam, because of being kicked out of the garden, man's days shall be 120. So whether he wanted to be through with Moses or not, I can't lie. You're 120 years old. Your time is out. You got to go. You got to go, because I can't lie. So he does not use the word covenant every time to get us to understand how he's trying to bless us. You have to look at what God is saying. But he told Abram, I want you to leave your country and leave your kinfolk to a place where I'm going to take you. So now Abraham, even though the word faith isn't used, Abraham walks out because of what God had told him to do. So God didn't say, have faith in me. He just said, I want you to go. And Abraham went. And that's why Abraham is called the father of faith. It originated from him. So God calls him the father of faith. And he made a promise. And God is always talking from a spiritual to us. We manifest, he tells us, in the shadow or in the pattern that we function in every day. And what we have trained ourselves to do is to follow the pattern rather than follow the spiritual. But he always is talking spiritually. So when he told Abraham, get away from your kinfolk, I'm going to make your father of many nations, Abraham didn't even have a son. I'm going to bless you. He didn't even have a son. All of this God was given with Abraham even having a son. He didn't have a seed. But God can't lie. So Abraham believed what God said. He had confidence and assurance in what God said. And he went out and left the results up to God. So that's what we have to do. When God gives us a charge, it's not up to us to fix how we get to the results. We got to first know God said it. And then we act on what he said. And it's God's job to figure out how to get to the other side. And just because you go through a lot of dips and turns and ups and downs don't mean it's not going to come to pass. Abraham goes into the land where God is going to give him. And when he gets there, Abraham builds an altar. But a famine comes in the land. Abraham leaves the land that God had brought him to, and he says, I'm going to help God because ain't no food here. I'm going to Egypt, where the food is at. And he goes down there to get the food. God brings him right on back to the land, and he builds an altar the second time in the same place where he built it the first time. Because God can't lie. I told you I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. And I'm going to give this land to you. Even though the Canaanites were there and Amalekites, I believe, was there. And this time he builds the altar between Ai and Bethel. Which means in between Bethel, the house of God and destruction, which means he has a choice on which one he wants to take. He gives his nephew a choice of where you want to go. Well, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and God took what was left. But he still is in the land where God told him. And Abraham is looking for how God is going to bless me. So he turns around and God said it's going to be through your seed. So he tries to help God out. Sarah's old. I'm old. But let me get with your handmaiden and maybe the two of us can get a child. And they do. God said, no, not... I didn't tell you that you're going to get this child. I said, this child is by promise. This is a promise that I've made. And I can't lie. This is a promise that I made. So God waits until Abraham and Sarah cannot have a child. Where they can't have a child. And then he gives them this child because he's the one that promised it. He does that because We learn as we get over here in Galatians that the seed that God was talking about was Christ. It wasn't Isaac, it was Christ. And God uses Abraham's child with Isaac by promise to teach us about how Christ is going to come. This is how we learn that it's the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to help us to look at the shadow, to look at the pattern of what is really taking place spiritually. And he makes Abraham do exactly what he's going to do later. Go up and sacrifice your son, your only son, to show me that you trust me and you have faith, even though I don't call it that. You believe me. And Abraham goes to paint the picture for us of Calvary on what God is going to do himself. And God always thinks spiritually. So you fast forward over here to where Jesus comes. And God comes and does exactly the way he showed the pattern. He brings the birth of his son through a virgin that haven't even been with a man. Because I promise it's through your seed. And that seed is Christ. And I put that seed into that woman because it has to be by faith. Now, Habakkuk is the second place in the scripture where you find the word faith. And Habakkuk is where Galatians get its verse. The just, the justified, those that got their sins erased, shall live. I want to read that one, I think, because we quote it not exactly the way it says it. And it's important in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Habakkuk says this. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up in, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. It didn't say the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by his faith. And we learn that faith came, which means faith was not here. Faith came, and we learn in here in our scripture text today, beginning at verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, that virgin woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Faith came. God wanted us that are justified to become sons by faith, by our assurance, our confidence in Christ's finished work, because we had to wait till the fullness of the time to come, for Christ to come, which is the promised seed that was to come from Abraham. This seed of faith that we're to believe in, not to do this work ourselves and think that And you know, I got a man that I know, the reason why I can't get him to come to church yet is he's waiting till he get himself straightened out and right enough to come to church. Because we got this gumbo in us that I can't come until I get right. We'll never be right, Mother Lewis. That's why we got to come. I'll never be right enough to get up here on Sunday morning. That'll never happen. All each of us have to do is know what God has charged you to do, and it's your job to do it. It's his job to get the results. But we've made this so on us when everything is on Christ. He's the seed of promise. He's the promised seed of Abraham. That now that he has come, that we live by him. So now with all that, that should help us to see these seven verses a little differently. Chapter 3 let us know that the law was a schoolmaster. It was our guardian that makes sure we come to class to learn about Christ, to help us to make sure we're protected along the way. But it's only protecting us externally. It does not promise you any eternal life. It doesn't promise life in you. It doesn't promise you heaven. It just brings you to Christ. Everything brings you to him. So knowing that, we find that in what now that faith has come, that it's not whether you Greek or Jew or male or female or bond or free. Everything comes through Christ. And so with that, Paul follows it up, says, so now an heir, the person who gets the inheritance, since you are under the law, you can't get the inheritance because you're under a guardian. He says, now the person who becomes an heir, he is no different than a child. Even though he's Lord of all. And let me say it a different way. If you're still acting as a child, or if you're still trying to let the schoolmaster get you to Christ, you get no more benefit than a servant, even though you own it all. Even though it all belongs to you, if you are still dealing with the schoolmaster, you don't know that faith has came. You don't recognize faith has come to not get you to try to work your way through these things, but to have confidence in the faith of Christ, who is the promised seed of Abraham. So what is he saying? Abraham became the heir. He inherited faith from Abraham because Abraham was the father of faith. So Christ inherited faith from Abraham because he's his promised seed. And all the benefits that God promised Abraham was transferred to Christ because he's Abraham's promised seed that's spiritual. We're chasing Abraham's promised seed on the earth. But Abraham was by promise. Isaac was requested. I need somebody to take over my cattle and my fields and my land. This promised land. I need somebody. Only person I got is my slave in my house, Eliezer, to give it to. I need somebody to give it to. Okay, I'll give you a son. I'll give you Isaac. But what God promised before there was even Isaac or Ishmael, I already said that the seed is coming. And it's coming by faith. So faith has come. Faith has come. And it's come for the just to live by faith. That everything you want from God, you got to do like Abraham. You got to obey God to receive the promises. So Paul then is saying here, then an heir, the person who gets the inheritance, is no different than a slave, even though you own it all. And you're under tutors and governors for them to say, well, I know you got $1 billion, but I'm only going to give you $10 because you don't know what to do with the rest of this. So I'll give you $10 at a time because you don't know how to live by faith. I'll give you only a little bit because I want to make sure that you don't go broke because you don't know what to do with what I'm giving you. It runs through your hands and in your pockets like a bag with a hole in it because you don't know what to do with the inheritance I'm giving you. So you're under a schoolmaster, under a guardian and a tutor, without the freedom to be the heir, to do what you want to do with it. Because you have not learned to live by faith. So he says, Even we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So even though you wasn't under the law, you were still like a slave. The elements of the world dictated to you, even though you're an heir. Remember? You got translated out of darkness into the light. And I put everything up in heavenly places. And it's sitting there waiting for you to get it and pull it down. But if you're still living off of the elements of the world, you're still in bondage, even though you're Lord of all. I've given it all to you, but you're not under the law, but you're still under bondage. So he said, but when the fullness of time came, God brought Christ, made of a woman, made of the law, to redeem us from the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now look at what God did again. I transferred Abraham's inheritance to Christ. So Christ has the inheritance, but he ain't dead. Because it's spiritual. He's well alive. You don't get an inheritance until the person dies. We didn't get the natural, we got the spiritual. We didn't get added until Christ got resurrected. So how do I get the inheritance then? I get it because I'm going to adopt you. So you get it while Christ still lives. I'm going to adopt you into my family. I created a family. And I'm going to adopt you into my family. So Christ don't have to die for you to get it. You get it because I've adopted you into that same family that I created by transfer of Abraham's promises to Christ. Then I turn around and I decide, you're still here on earth, but I gave you a spiritual inheritance. Well, while I'm still living, I can't get my reward when I get there. But I'm going to let you use Christ's name to get it now. You're not sitting with him because you're down here. I'm going to let you be in him and him in you. And you ask in his name, and I will do it. That's a promise. That's a promise. A little simple hidden mystery that God's been put out there in black and white. And because we won't renew our minds spiritually, we can't see the hidden truth of the word. So we chase this natural stuff around, trying to get natural things. But the just shall live by faith. So then, he says, because I've adopted you into my family, you are no longer a servant, but you are a son and daughter, with all the rights and privileges of the inheritance that I promised to Abraham, because you are part of Abraham's seed and seed according to God's promise. So therefore, don't lose out on what God has promised us because we deal with God like he's some physical being like me standing here. Don't lose out trying to think that I can only get what God is trying to give me 10% of the time and I can keep up. No, God is trying to bless each and every one of us. If we just study his word just a little bit, pray to God just a little bit, be consistent with him a little bit, he's made promises to us that he cannot fail. He will not fail because they are promises that he's made that we're an heir, and he promised it. Father, we're grateful once again. And we're learning more and more each and every day, oh God, that whatever you promise, you're able to do. Exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask, hope, or think. Because it's your power that works in us. Help us, oh God, where we're short. Oh God, help us to come up higher. Bring us up to Zion where you live. God, help us, oh God, to see the benefits and rewards that we can have even now. God, we don't need to struggle. God, we let the world keep us from hearing your word just to get natural things when you didn't promise you'll add those things. Help us to get our priorities in line. Make you first. See you as God and not as man. Assured, oh God, that you will not lie and you cannot change. Help us to put our trust in you. Oh God, first spiritually, but I guarantee, God, that we can have eternal life. Then, God, I ask, change my mind, strengthen my will. God, change my emotions and my appetite. Oh God, and bring it in line with your word and then touch these feeble bodies from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. Oh God, strengthen these joints. Take away these aches and pains. Purify these kidneys, oh God. These livers, oh God. Regulate these hearts. You're able to do it. Lower these blood pressures. Oh God, stabilize these diabetes. Dry up every cancer cell through the blood, oh God, of Calvary. Because you're able to do it and willing.